Hello and welcome to Temporal Culture War, where we dig into what the hell was going on in America in the early 2000s while we watch one of television history's most maligned properties, Star Trek Enterprise. I am your science officer this week, Clayton Ashley.
I'm the captain. And my name is Maddie Luchansky as well. Wow!
Well, I'm doing great. Yeah, you don't. You can, you know, if you need a break, we'll get to the episode in the second half. Mm-hmm. That episode being The Communicator, which aired back in November 13th, 2002. It is episode 8 of season 2.
Mm-hmm. We are now at about a third of the way through the show, Star Trek Enterprise.
That's incredible to think.
There's like 97 episodes, and this is episode 33 or so.
We have to cut through so much chaff to get to anything truly good.
It's not even resembling wheat. Like, we are still, like, my wheat sensor is a faint blip. I think this episode's okay.
This is, I'd say, instead of just truly mediocre, this is like, you know, it's a little bit above mediocre.
This is right down the middle, baby. We could talk about why later.
First, though, but we got some news from over two decades ago.
This Justin coming across my desk.
Iraq has agreed to the UN resolution for inspection.
Oh, well, hey, that sounds like the end of that.
It's probably going to take care of things. They'll check it out and everything will be cool.
That'll be great.
Hu Jintao has become the General Secretary of China.
Okay.
He is letting more entrepreneurs into the Communist Party.
Another thing that'll go just, I guess it goes fine. It goes fine.
For them, I think.
Yeah, for that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. China's economy has changed a lot in the last 24 years. There it is.
Yeah, perhaps even farther back. Yeah, and I think this was actually a bigger pivot than I realized when I saw it. I was like, oh, I guess that's how you get like Chinese billionaires of tech companies.
Yeah, this is how you get Chinese billionaires. It's how you get all the expats coming here. It's how you get the Chairman Mao's face on the Gucci store in Beijing, you know. It's how you get a lot of, let's say, incongruent things about the current Chinese economy. However, I'm ready to.
Seems preferable, maybe.
Yeah, listen, man. They got, you see those bridges they got over there?
Those high speed trains.
They're building. Yeah, man.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
But speaking of communism,
girl can dream. Ooh.
Pelosi becomes the minority leader and the first woman to lead a major American party.
Who?
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. Cool. A
she's not speaker
operator.
Yet. But yeah.
Sure. Who? I have no thoughts that I want to talk about on this program about her. Great. Good for her. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to hell.
They're a minority party, and I think they became more minor after this election. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's that. MI5 also disrupted an Al-Qaeda, I suppose, an Al-Qaeda plot to gas the London Underground.
I recall this. This was, I feel like, a time in which maybe like once every couple of months we got a foiled Al-Qaeda plot in the news. And I think often it was someone emailing somebody like, we should do that. You know, I don't know if they like they were not like rolling up the gas and James Bond showed up.
Yeah.
Because he's MI6.
And he's in my this is the domestic, isn't that this is like their FBI kind of or something.
I think the MI5 is a highway. I think that's
okay.
I don't know. It's the MI5 is, there's, instead of naming them different things, they've given them all the same name with a different number, which
Mission Impossible 5,
Mission Impossible 6. Yeah, this one, I think this one is Ghost Protocol.
No, yes, this is the Ghost Protocol.
No, Ghost Protocol is 4.
Oh,
this
you're right.
This is Rogue Nation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So Rogue Nation disrupted the Al-Qaeda plot.
Let me just double check. That's Rogue Nation. Thank you. I got it right.
Good.
Got
important.
Right. Got it in one.
We want to fact check that.
Swoosh.
Last on my news docket, I just love this because it was in all caps. Exceptionally bright eruption on Io, rivals largest in solar system. It was misspelled.
Say that word one more time.
Here, I'm sending you.
Send me the word. And maybe I'll
the actual link, and you'll see how they spelled the word system.
Let's see. See. Okay. I see they've spelled system at the KEKObservatory.org.
With a, they put an A in there. I don't think there's an A.
S-Y-A-T-E-M. Siatum. What's interesting is that the dateline is Mauna Kea, Hawaii, which I know that's where the satellite, where the telescope is. But I feel like the dateline should be on Io.
Yeah, it should say Io, Jupiter's moon. But yeah, it's big. Big. I like Io. It got some big volcanoes there. I think it's the most geologically active planetoid outside of Earth in the solar system or something. It's neat.
That's cool. Yeah. I feel like we're getting a lot of the paranoiac stuff happening, right? They're sending in the inspectors to Iraq. They are, you know, foiling plots. It's getting, the temperature is up. The temperature is hot.
Oh yeah.
Not just on Io.
This is when there is basically like national security news of some sort.
Yeah.
Every day. It has become a chunk of the reporting. Sometimes it's plots like this, or I think I noticed something. I didn't even write this down, but it was like George Bush released a supposed recording of Osama bin Laden talking, and is like, "Take notice, world. He talks." Right, like,
take notice, everybody. This guy's chatty. I really hope Clayton is all these world events where everyone's kind of an insane paranoiac in the West. I hope that doesn't seep into our fiction.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
I hope nobody's investigating plots in our fiction forever, seemingly.
The TV, other than Star Trek, there wasn't a lot here. I mean, kind of sad week, actually. We didn't beat the vile Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God, we were on such a good streak, too.
I know.
Dawson's and it's back.
It's so close. It's 3.0 to 3.1 rating, 4.5 to 4.8 viewers. We're equal on share at 5, but the only thing we beat was Candid Camera.
It's brutal. 2002 Although, Candid Camera.
That's the other thing. Yeah, 2002. I decided, because that was nothing, I looked at the rest of the week. I was just kind of curious, like, what else is on the TV? We did beat Firefly on Friday. So get I think fucked. I'll take that sci-fi. We
The vile Josh science Whedon, fiction. I believe is his name.
Exactly. We defeated the vile Joss Whedon.
I like to say Josh, because that's not Josh. Yeah, we'll get fucked, Joss Whedon, now and back then.
I was also reminded that Fear Factor is running at this time.
Yeah.
Ill portents. And then I have a little quiz for you. I just picked out the top performers of every day of the week, and I want you to guess which is overall the highest.
Okay. Sorry, I was just having a real quick mental breakdown where I realized that eventually, in a long while, we're going to have to do Serenity on this show.
Interesting, because I think that Serenity, the movie, is a better thing than most of the TV show.
It is, but we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to talk about how it...
Yeah.
What Mr. Whedon has done to the world.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry, go back to your game.
Okay, quiz time, quiz time. Okay, quiz. The top five of the week, Monday through Friday. Jag, okay. My Wife and Kids, mm-hmm. King of Queens, mm-hmm. Friends, and Providence.
Okay. What am I guessing?
What was just the overall, the highest viewed TV show of the week? Those are the top five, each day.
Jag, Friends, Providence. What was the other two?
King of Queens, My Wife and Kids.
I gotta say Friends.
You are right. It wasn't that hard of a quiz. But I was kind of surprised that they were
Friends
mostly the sitcoms. Oh, of course it was. And it beat out Survivor on the same day. I bet if Survivor was a different day, maybe it's just Thursday was still like the day for cable news, basic cable. But
yeah. What the fuck was Providence?
I had to look that up because I kept searching the name of the episode, which was Truth and Consequences. But it's like a drama that obviously didn't last.
Oh, it's a medical drama with a cover of In My Life as the theme song. And you know what? Sorry. It's got my favorite working television guy. Worked on this show. I don't care that much about his music, but the composer of Providence, of course, the legend himself, W.G. Snuffy Walden. Just a good name.
It is a good name.
I just love to see when I'm watching TV to see in the credits, W.G. Snuffy Walden. It's up there with Speed Weed for guys I like to see.
And Dick Wolf.
And of course, Dick Wolf.
Yeah. Let's go to the music.
That's... Yep.
That's how it goes. Okay. new on the list at 96. I'm assuming this is going to go up fast, but One of Those Days by Whitney Houston.
Oh, okay. Sure.
It's, you know, pretty starting this. Yeah. And I'm assuming Whitney will go higher, but for now, 96 at 88. Do That by Baby featuring P. Diddy.
Sure. Mm-hmm. P. Diddy, another normal guy, has never done anything.
Another normal guy. 85, we got Spin by Lighthouse.
Ooh, now there is some accursed 2002 Iana to me.
Is
Lighthouse.
Were you spinning Lighthouse? Spin by Lighthouse?
No, is this before or after the other famous song of theirs?
I don't know the other famous song of
theirs. Wait, Lighthouse or Lifehouse?
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse. I'm thinking of Lifehouse.
Oh, well then never mind.
I don't know that.
We'll move on to 73, which is Fall Into Me by Emerson Drive.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just have to. It's Lifehouse is what you're saying.
I should be saying Lifehouse. I thought I copy pasted it. Apparently not.
I'm looking online real quick. Uh-huh. And Spin is by the band Lifehouse. I just need you.
Thanks.
Just
correcting my document. At home,
I caught it. Hanging by a Moment is 2000, which is much earlier than I thought. Anyways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What kind of band are they?
Lifehouse? They're just like a shit rock band. They suck. Okay. They're like post-grunge, like pop rock.
Okay.
Just real quick, this song Spin was off an album called Stanley Climbfall.
Stanley Climbfall?
Stanley Climbfall.
That sounds like a bad children's toy.
Uh-huh. Climb and fall in one word. Stanley, Climbfall.
Climbfall. Well.
Well.
So, yeah, sorry. 73, Fall Into Me by Emerson Drive. Don't know nothing about that. 69, Fabulous by Jaheim featuring the Ray.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know this week.
No, me too.
A lot of stuff that's new to me.
But this probably won't be. 58, Family Portrait by Pink.
Oh, sure. Remember Pink?
Of course I do. Pink's been on a lot of our lists. We mentioned Pink a lot.
The thing about Pink is that I don't like it. I don't like what Pink's doing.
Now or back then?
Yes.
Okay. I've never been in on Pink. I think my mom and sister played Pink sometimes, so I probably have heard more than I realized, but I don't,
You were getting that party started as a teenager?
I was probably getting that party started. It's true.
Mm-hmm. You're coming out.
Yeah.
Coming up. Whatever.
So that was it actually for all the new ones, but I will just note Lose Yourself is still at number one.
Unstoppable.
And when I was just looking into it, a little factoid is the first rap song to win an Academy Award for Best Original Song.
Wow. I wonder if that's an interesting segue into the movies.
It turns out to be.
A segue I attempted last week and then remembered and then looked at the date and I was like, oh, it's next week. So I knew that was coming.
Because at the top of the list with a bullet point, 8 Mile.
That's right.
So we're finally here.
Pretty good movie. I like it. It's got Brittany Murphy,
mm-hmm.
the late great.
How did this movie come together? Like why did this? Yeah, how did Eminem get a movie?
Why did Eminem make a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. My feeling is that I wonder. Okay, you know what? I'm looking this up.
Mm-hmm.
The producer Brian Grazer had the idea of a hip hop film. And he wanted to put audiences in the world like Saturday Night Fever did and happened to see Eminem on MTV.
Oh, so it's kind of a happenstance.
It was almost Danny Boyle directing this.
Oh, because it's like
interesting.
I can't help but think of the fact that like this very big, well critically acclaimed movie
mm-hmm.
about rapping was about one of the very few popular white rappers.
Yeah, it's because he saw him on TV.
And he was on a TV, so I guess that explains
it. What? Is that what they probably... I would like to go back to 8 Mile and cut that in.
Like Elvis?
Cut back in Tom Hanks going, he's what? Tom Hanks as Dutch Watto in the film Elvis.
Just recut his life where that Tom Hanks is is the one who pulls him out of obscurity.
What? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just really stuck on this now. Anyways, yeah, pretty good movie. Curtis Hanson directed L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yeah.
Director.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not bad movie.
But the rest, I'm going to go from the bottom up now. Please. At 98, Hush with an exclamation point, which is a Japanese indie film about two gay men. And I couldn't just tell from the description if it also meant and a woman and all, or also and a gay woman. Oh. But they empathize with each other for how hard things can be, I'm assuming, in a conservative society like Japan. But, you know, it was interesting. Not the description I expected to see.
Yeah. I'm shocked they got an American release.
Uh-huh. Pretty small. But 97, The Rising Place, which was described in the very few reviews of it I could find as a very treacly civil rights history drama.
Mm.
At 81, we had a re-release of Singing in the Rain.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Clayton, how do you feel about the film Singing in the Rain?
I think it's nice.
It's a good movie. It's a really funny movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It holds up. I think.
And it's got Cherise Danson.
Why I feel like they only re-release movies now, but I guess they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, Disney used to do it a lot with their stupid vault or whatever.
Of course. Yeah.
But yeah, I would have loved to see Singing in the Rain on the big screen. And I think everything about it is perfectly fine. I think it's fine to date a teenager. And that's my real opinion.
All right. We'll move on to the North Station.
Hey, what's Maddie think about Star Trek Enterprise? Well, I tried to listen to her show about it, and she said that P. Diddy was normal and cool, and that dating a teenager is good. Yeah,
those are just my opinions. How we thought in 2002.
I mean, listen.
We're taking
when I was
you seven, there.
When I was 17 in 2002.
But
you know
I want.
When I was 17, it was fine to date a teenager.
Of course.
with the information I had in 2002, but P. Diddy was fine. So try to argue with that information, liberals.
When I was 16, I thought it was okay to date a teenager.
When I was 16, I thought it was perfectly fine to date. Yeah. I thought what Gene Kelly was doing in that film when he was dating what's her name, Debbie Reynolds. I thought that was fine.
It's fine.
So
we're chugging along now from 81 down to 57. Oop. With North Station, which
Boston North Station?
No.
Oh.
It's a succinctly described Canadian Santa drama. So it's about North Station is that town where like letters to Santa end up getting sent to if you actually send them.
Okay.
And it's a town, you know, I think it's one of the towns closest to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
So this town gets them, and I guess in the movie it's this like one guy who kind of like handles taking them all and I think sending letters back or whatever. Okay. And he dies, and so his kids like take over, keep doing it. But then the actual movie's drama is more about the fact that somebody in this like earlier part of the film a long time ago gets lost like out in the winter Arctic and disappears. We jump 50 years into the future.
What?
And which is now the 1990s. Like huge time travel movie or anything. But it's like it turns out that guy didn't die. He was rescued by the real Santa.
Santa's been keeping him
alive, and I don't know. It wasn't a full explanation of the plot of this movie. It's not just a Christmas movie. It seemed to be also this drama about like a small Canadian town and why you do traditions.
Well,
it came out November.
That sounds wonderful.
And then we got 51. Jiannu. I may not be pronouncing that perfectly, but it is an Indian Punjabi language drama. Also Canadian, about Canadian Punjabi immigrants. And it's this kind of like romantic. They go to visit their family where they immigrated from in this area of India and meet someone. And then like, oh, I love you, but I need to go back to Canada. Oh, but my parents think that if we get married, that's where we'll move. And your parents think, well, you know, that kind of movie.
Like, sure. This all sounds like sweet indie stuff.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
Sure.
And then I think this is probably the first thing people might recognize at 29. Far From Heaven.
Oh, my God.
Julianne Moore, directed by Todd Haynes, Tom. Romantic historical
have
drama.
You seen the film Far From Heaven, Clayton?
I have not, but upon description, it sounds solid.
It is on Criterion Channel right now.
Ooh.
If you are a Criterion thing, they have a little collection that's three by Todd Haynes, which is It's Safe and Far From Heaven and Poison. Mm-hmm. And Todd, Todd's one of my favorite living directors.
Uh-huh.
The film Far From Heaven is so good. It is Julianne Moore and Dennis Haysbert, who you might recognize as the president from 24.
Oh, of course. Oh, wow.
In like a scandalous interracial love affair in Connecticut in the 1950s. It fucking rocks. It's so good and it's so beautifully shot and acted and directed. And it's like a beautiful, perfect little object to me. I love the movie.
Based on the trailer, it looked gorgeous. So, and you know, Julianne Moore. So that was only 29, though. I mean, hopefully it goes higher. But
I doubt it. I think it was that movie. You know what? That movie ends up making $30 million. It must be going wide later. I bet it's a limited release.
Yeah, probably at this point.
Number 29, yeah.
But just to wrap up for the top 10, once again, we do have 8 Mile at the top, but right under it, the Santa Claus in November, still still cleaning up. Also, did we mention The Ring? We did, right?
I think we did a couple weeks ago.
Okay, because it's at number 3.
The Ring's I believe.
Okay. I guess it was probably more Halloween timed. But speaking of Halloween, we did cover Ghost Ship. It's still hanging around at number 8 somehow.
Yeah, it's a great film, Ghost Ship.
More than I expected, honestly.
So everyone just going, telling their friends, being like, you got to watch the first scene of Ghost Ship and then you can leave.
And then go to another movie.
Just go to another movie. But you have to buy a ticket to Ghost Ship. They're calling it the Ghost Ship Challenge. And what you do is you go, go buy a ticket to Ghost Ship, go watch the first scene and then leave because there's nothing else to see.
Yeah.
You can go to our Patreon right now and listen to us watching the film Ghost Ship.
That's worth it.
That's worth it.
I've done my duty as science officer, Maddie. That's it.
That's it?
Okay. That's it.
You're going below decks.
I'm going below.
Okay.
Taking a nap.
Just thinking about Far From Heaven. If we wanted to have a nice episode of the Patreon, we could watch Far From Heaven. It has nothing to do. It doesn't fit the theme of our show even a little bit.
No, because it's just good. It's something
it's
you've
seen.
It's
just a good movie, and the whole time it'd be like, and did you see that shot? It's good, which is, I think, not interesting to our listeners who want to hear about the fucked up, twisted stuff happening. Where's the butterfly effect or whatever they'll be saying to us?
Brian X, what was that called?
X versus Sever, ballistic colon X versus Sever. Have we talked about that already, right?
We did. Yeah, I think
that's the next movie we have to watch, I think.
Well, that's, we can save that for the bad one, because I thought we were going to treat ourselves to Femme Fatale.
We were going to treat ourselves to Femme Fatale on the next versus Sever, and then maybe.
Then we'll punish ourselves.
We were only 2 years away from Butterfly Effect. We're going to get there. That's 2005. We're going to get there. Okay. Let's go. We should have just a phaser sound effect.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode is pretty okay. It's called The Communicator. It is season 2, episode 8. It was, I was fascinated by this episode because I thought it was directed pretty well as far as these things go. And as a prolific director of television named James Konchner directed it, who I was looking has directed 5 episodes of Enterprise, and I think I've liked all of them.
Oh, have you watched any?
We watched almost all of them.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, the episode Dear Doctor, which is a good episode. The episode Carbon Creek, not bad.
Yeah.
The episode Minefield, which is the Romulan cloaked minefield.
Yeah, sure.
This episode, and then an episode later this season where Travis goes and hangs out with his family on their ship.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All pretty good episodes. He also directed that episode of The X-Files where Tony Shalhoub is a killer shadow. Which is a good
hell yes.
Anyways.
I remember the Shalhoub episode, yes.
Yeah, where he's afraid of his shadow. It fucking rocks. It's called Soft Light, I think. Anyways. So. Cold open. We see our intrepid heroes. We see it's Hoshi and it's Archer and it's Reed. And they are getting back on the ship. and they look like aliens. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got the little ridges.
Isn't that so weird? They got ridges, and they're all like, thank God for our prosthetics. I want to take them off. My feet hurt from hiking around. I like that city. Remember that guy? He reminded me of Churchill. And I'm like, you mean the guy that starved all those Bengalis? They all start taking off their prosthetics that make them look like aliens, including they're just like rubbing off with like makeup wipes.
Yeah.
I just can't stop thinking about on this show and other tracks, I feel. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's go to the doctor and he will put prosthetics on us to make us look like, because we're going to a pre-warp planet.
Uh-huh.
Prime directive, et cetera, even though it hasn't been invented yet. It's the directive, comma, prime on this show, I guess. Whatever. Social contagion, they call it, or whatever.
So yeah, that's right. Cultural contamination.
Cultural contamination. Social contagion. And they want to avoid that. It's like, let's go to the doctor, we'll get prosthetics on. But can you imagine if you're like at the store and you saw three people like talking into like out of a weird box that translates everything for them. And they've got like a human nose, but it looks drawn on. Like that looks like makeup. Wouldn't you be like, hey, what's wrong with you? Not like, you certainly are the kind of alien I am. Also, another episode. I'm just going to get my gripes out of the way really quick.
Sure.
Another episode where you see them speaking English the whole time.
Right.
And it's never addressed. That things are translated.
It's taken away from them. I was thinking about this at that moment. Their translator is taken away from them. No, you can't do it that way.
I'm hissing like a cat.
They've even had episodes where they account for this. Either. And they didn't this time.
Either. You have the translator technology from the show Star Trek, which makes everyone translate each other using magic that's in the air. Or you have to have your translator around and worry about it. You can't set it up that you have the translator around and it's like a going concern and then fucking ignore it half the time, man. You can't do it. It makes me upset. I have autism. What are you saying?
I got even more mad about the whole teleporter thing, which they just pretend does not exist in this episode.
Oh yeah, what the fuck? Wait, fuck.
Yeah. And I hate this kind
of throwing stuff in my office now.
I'm doing
that's
this
what you've done.
Even while I kind of hate the like, why didn't they just use this magic technology they have to make this not an episode worth watching? And it's like, just give me one line about why we're servicing it this week. Like
they're shielding. There's something.
It's just frustrating. I don't know.
Fucking hell.
But anyway, Malcolm fucks everything up.
Anyways, they're like. Malcolm's like, shit, I'll have my phone down there.
On my first time, the first time he does one of these little excursions.
He's lost his communicator. Oh no, it's been a long time. Anyways, getting from there to here. So they start looking around and it's a very realistic depiction of me looking for my phone. I'll say.
Looking through the trash can, which I'm pretty sure is my current trash can. It's in the decon room.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. Reed's like, they're like going through the steps in their mind, and Reed's like, okay, I used it at the beginning of the mission, but not later. So maybe I don't know, but it's definitely on the planet.
Yeah,
they get to that conclusion. Like, okay, let's use the scanners. Oh yeah, scan. Okay, when you can't find something, scan for it. Great, fucking. Of course, yes.
Imagine they scan that.
For it. It looks like they pull up a little area on Google Maps, and it looks like. There's a couple of buildings they recognize, and like, oh yeah, there's the pub we were hanging out in. Let's go back. And DePaul is like, be careful. Do not socially contagion them. And Archer is like, okay, me and Reed will go alone. Hoshi, you can't come because you are a girl. And then Trip is like, can I be in the episode? And Archer's like, no.
No. Which is funny because this is also the last episode he kind of wanted to go, I think, and he had to stay.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing, but it's very much like Archer, Trip being like, hey, can I come to be in the main part of can I be in the A plot? And they're like, no, Trip, you're the B plot guy now. And
he's
like,
oh, well, I guess I'm Mr. B plot.
All right, I'll go be the B plot.
We also, I think we also, from T'Pol, get a little bit of a like context of what this planet is like, which is that it's pre-warp and it's kind of in some sort of Cold War. Like they're having. Not outright conflict, but there's like two sides on this planet and they hate each other and it seems like something's going to happen soon.
Yeah. Neo Tokyo is about to explode. Yes, of course. They're on their way down and Reed is like, Should I kill myself or what? Captain. And Captain's like, yeah, man, kill yourself. Just kidding. Everyone makes mistakes. I'm like, aren't you in the Navy? Maybe he should actually be reprimanded.
Yeah, but he's also so annoyingly morose in this episode.
So morose. Anyways, they get to the fucking pub, and a bartender comes over because all alien planets are Earth on this show.
Yeah.
And the bartender comes over, and he's like, where's that girl? And they're like, we didn't bring the girl because she's a girl. And he's like, hey, you got to try the Gerberflax that I just got in from the horrible stand. And like, oh, wow, sounds great. And he goes over there and he walks over to a table with three military guys at it. And he gives him a little nod and they give him a little nod. And he looks over at Hoshi or Reed and Archer. No, Hoshi, because she's a girl. He looks over at Archer and Reed and they all kind of look at it and you're like, oh, no, they're in trouble. Anyways,
this is also, okay. This is a little bit like a World War II planet or a cold. Like,
it is
these
a World
guys,
War II planet. They look very World
guys,
War II-y.
Yeah, these are the fascists, I think. Just by how they're dressed and kind of acting, they unfortunately lost their communicator on the fascist side of the planet.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is pointed that the people that they think that they are spies for later in the episode are called the Alliance.
Yeah, that too.
And it's like, oh no, you're the Nazis.
Yeah,
you're
damn,
the guys.
Bad luck.
Oh, really turns it on its head that Reed thought that guy sounded like Winston Churchill. Oh, don't you feel stupid now? I don't, because I didn't like him in the first place. So Reed like takes out his little communicator under the table or his scanner, and he's like, "Ah, shit! It's around here because someone definitely found it."
Yeah, it's in a room I did not go into.
Yeah, and they try to go there, and it's like a locked room, and they're like, "Okay, we gotta wait for someone to come out of here, right?" But the three Nazis come over. And grab them, and then the archer's like, all right, time to fight, I guess.
Yeah, they flip a table. They're so bad at this.
They're bad at fighting.
Really incompetent.
Don't you have guns?
Don't you have
fucking stun guns?
Yeah, you won't have to hurt them. Just stun everybody in the building and leave.
Don't you fucking get your teleport the communicator out. Just teleport the communicator out. You didn't have to go yourself.
That's actually really frustrating. Yeah. The teleporter thing's super frustrating, but they could have literally walked into this bar, very quickly stunned the very few people in there, taken the stuff and left.
Well, anyways,
it would have been easy.
Anyways, the local, the military people, it turns out, had put the thing in the locked room as a trap and they fell for it. This is like a D&D plot.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they find, but they get like searched and they find, you know, their pistols, and they're all their scanners, their translator, whatever. And the leader, the main guy, is like, I'm going to call the general. And I found two spies for the Alliance.
General Gosis. Pretty good name, actually. This is where Enterprise, they start getting concerned. They haven't called back.
Yeah, so that's the act break. And they get back to the Enterprise, and Trip is like, something's wrong. And T'Pol's like, yeah, we'll just hail the communicator. And she just calls and goes like, Captain Archer, this is your ship full of aliens. please call back when you get a chance. And nobody picks up. And they're like, but the channel's open, which means somebody's listening.
Mm.
You dumb fucks. Why don't you have a... Okay, you knew you were going down there. Another thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
You knew you were going down there. Why don't you have a code word? Like, you know, why don't you just say like, can these guys understand English?
Oh.
Anyways.
Whatever. It seems like they're both really concerned about cultural contamination, but they are not taking hardly any steps to prevent
it. No steps to mitigate it. No. Anyways.
Meanwhile, in Command and Conquer Red Alert 2.
Meanwhile, in Command and Conquer Red Alert 2, Archer and Malcolm are like in like a jail. Basically.
It's like the worst CGI base.
It's a really bad CGI base. it is Command and Conquer 2, Red Alert. So Reed is like doing mopey shit. And he's like, what if we told them the truth? And Archer is like, I don't know if we could do that. Anyways, the general's there now. And he comes in. He goes, which one of you is the captain? because you're, it's like pretty sad state of affairs if the military is, they're making military guys be the spies now. And I'm like, yeah, then should, why would you, anyways.
It didn't seem strange to me, but it was like,
yeah,
it was.
It would be weird to send a ship captain to be a spy.
That's the thing. I was going to say, it's like, are you Navy? Like, what is
that? Yeah, I don't know. You know what a ship is? Anyways, they're like, which one is Captain Archer's? Like, it's me. I'm not from the military, but he won't answer any. They keep asking him questions. So he won't answer any of them. And Gosis is like, you're here to assassinate the guy who sounds like Winston Churchill, whose name is
the Chancellor.
Coulterie. They start interrogating him. They start hitting Archer. And it rips open his prosthetic and he gets cut and he starts bleeding. And like, one of the soldiers is like, his blood is red. And another one is like, this is not real skin or whatever. And they like rip off a bunch of the prosthetic. And it's like, and they go, they've been surgically altered. And it's like, bitch, that is latex. They've not been surgically altered. It's just like a costume.
Well, I guess they think underneath the latex they've been surgically altered.
Maybe.
It's still funny to me that it is just latex makeup, which I know is what they have access to for the special effects, but it's future latex, I guess.
It's future tex. Anyways, back on Enterprise. Oh, Ghostus is like, send these guys to the doctor and I want a full fucking report on what's up with these dudes. Mm-hmm. Back on Enterprise, they found the Red Alert 2 compound. And they're like, okay, we're going to go rescue them. Rescue plan. And Trip is like, finally, I can be in the episode. What if we use the Suliban ship, the little cell ship, the little weird little guy, because it's got the cloaking device.
It's the one that Archer escaped in the season premiere.
Yes. And they're like, well, we can get the cloaking device working, and then we can just be invisible. And they go. Tucker and Travis go to the cell ship, and they're working on it, to try and get the cloaker to work. And there's like a little explosion thing happened, and half of Tucker's briefcase and half of Tucker's arm are made invisible.
It's a terrible little joke. Yeah, I enjoyed. So this was where I'm like, why are you doing this instead of just teleporting them?
Well, because it's funny.
And it's like, if they just, you know, freebie for the writers of this episode, they can go back and fix this. It just happens that the rock on this planet is hard to teleport through. Like, because they shouldn't know how to make teleproof rock. I don't know. It's just frustrating because the whole thing with this Enterprise is this is the first Star Trek ship with the teleporter, and it is perfect for this kind of problem.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to come up with a completely different
idea. They try to use it and it breaks. I don't know.
Yeah,
something.
Or they're like, we left all our stuff, so we got to go get that. But it's just like, please don't think the audience is going to be annoyed about this if you don't do something about it. It just seems like, as much as I don't like to make these kind of criticisms, it's so apparent here. This is the show with teleporters. You can't do this.
Yeah, the teleportation hour. Like, it's the one thing people remember from all Star Trek. Beam me up, please.
But yes, I did appreciate the stealth gag, because it's then after his arm is invisible, he goes to Phlox.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you going to do about this? And he's like, I don't know, put on a glove.
Yeah, he tries to scan him, but he can't scan him because he's cloaked, which is funny. Yeah. And he's like, here's a glove, and also get a new uniform.
It's like, you are covered in radiation that makes things invisible.
Yeah, you've been shot with invisible radiation.
Is his arm not just cancer now?
I mean, I don't know. It's never really... correct me if I'm wrong. They never really revisit this.
No.
At the end of the episode, he's just wearing a glove. No. So, back on the planet, back in Red Alert 2, the general is like... shows him an x-ray and is like, what the fuck's up with your internal organs? You're missing a bunch of spinal stuff.
I really liked how this started with him just, the Ghostus or whatever. He was just talking to some of his associates or whatever about what they're going to do. Oh, I think maybe they're testing out the gun or something.
But then
his doctor walks in and his doctor has just this look on his face.
Yeah.
That he has no idea what the fuck he's just seen. And I think it was actually, for a small part, it's really conveyed well that he's like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. I ran every test like 3 times. They're not us. They're not our species.
Yeah, it's pretty funny that they're like in a Twilight Zone episode down there.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Like, we're like, oh, it's like the Nazis have found spies that are aliens. So they're like, we also found, we found your shuttle. And we saw it traveling. It's very high speed. And Archer is like, all right, fine. We're spies. We've been genetically enhanced. They basically describe themselves as the Suliban.
That's kind of funny.
We've been genetically enhanced. We're like, we have all these weird devices are prototypes.
That's just an aircraft. It's not a spaceship, though.
Yeah, that's just like a experimental aircraft. We have an experimental gun.
Because he's leaning into like, we are from the Alliance. Like, he's trying to make them not think aliens exist.
Right, because they've determined that it's really important that we don't do cultural contamination. And the doctor is like, I think we have to kill them to like study them. Like,
because I can't tell. They might be telling the truth, but I can't be sure.
We have to kill them like E.T. and cut them open. We have to make them great, E.T. Yeah. So back on the ship, Trip and Mayweather are working on the cell ship. T'Pol comes in and she's like, we got to go, dude. They're going to be executed in 2 hours.
I'm sorry, Maddie, who comes in?
Very contritely removing my glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Rubbing my face.
Everyone understands Maddie feels really bad.
Topology.
T'Pol comes in. T'Pol comes in. Her name is T'Pol. Comes in. Fuck me, man.
Even Gosis got it right.
I noted that when it happened. I was like, he's got it. He's like, someone named T'Pol is trying to reach you. And I was like, he can do it. T'Pol comes in and says that they're going to get executed in 2 hours. We like got a transmission from them. So we got to go. And Trip, you can work on it on our way down.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And back in the jail, Archer and Malcolm are like, well, what's going to happen to us? And Archer's like, well, I assume after we're killed, T'Pol will find us and dispose of our bodies to make sure that no one finds them.
Yep.
And they're like, well, what if we tell the truth? And Archer's like, we can't do it. You know, we talked about the contamination thing, but we never talked about whether or not it is worth it for a crewman to die for it. And they're like, well,
damn.
I hope someone rescues us, I guess.
They seem to not actually think they're going to be rescued. And I'm not sure if that's because, I mean, it's possible that Malcolm's depression has made the captain also very sad. Because in this scene, he is also no longer like, it doesn't seem like even trying to figure out what they're going to do or how to get around it. He's just more like coming to the acceptance of,
yeah, they are not
damn
the scene.
I didn't think we would have to die to prevent cultural contamination.
Yeah,
but
they're very,
here we are.
They both seem very ready to die.
Cause they're like, oh, they also mentioned that like, we can't tell them who we are. It would be so hard to convince them and it would totally ruin their cultural progression because they haven't even invented that split the atom yet.
Oh yeah. They're like, we haven't split the atom yet. And like, think about all the stuff that the Vulcans did for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Archer's like, we can't, it won't help them because they waited until we were ready, until we were ready to visit other stars. Right?
Yeah. They're still saying that visiting other stars, warp travel is the marker that you're ready. But certainly not a like pre-atomic age civilization.
Yeah, right. Because it's like, which is also kind of, I mean, the whole thing is kind of stupid because, I mean, like I understand like pre-warp or like warp means you're ready because that means you could conceivably accidentally end up at Vulcan, right? And then you'd meet them anyways, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like every warp civilization is cool.
Certainly, yeah, yeah.
Most of them aren't.
The thing is like where I said that I feel like this episode is a little bit above average is because it's once again one of those episodes with a good idea. This whole idea of like avoiding cultural contamination on a society that maybe doesn't deserve it or like you really think you can improve. And it's like, no, the point, that's not the point.
Right.
Like, the point is to not influence them.
Cold War America or like the World War II Nazis, mm-hmm. Access to space travel is not a good idea.
Right. Or laser pistols or what have you. And so this debate is interesting. I wish it was like these two actors are some of my least favorite on this entire series. So I'm not super interested in them like working this out, but it did elevate it in my mind slightly above average because yeah, it's like, this is interesting stuff. This is what I would think this episode, the series would get into, which is like figuring out why we need the Prime Directive. Sometimes it sucks, but we need it.
Right. Exactly. So meanwhile, a really cool looking CGI space thing is happening with a bunch of really cool looking ships doing cool stuff that looks great, I think. Don't you agree that it looks awesome and cool?
I also like that it's three of them. It's T'Pol, Trip, and Travis all in the little pod. And as they're heading down, their stealth isn't quite working.
Yeah.
So they, do we ever name who these people are on this planet?
But their ships are all very, it's all very X-Wing Rogue Squadron 2 Rogue Leader looking graphics.
It's bad graphics. They kind of look like biplanes, but they're jets, but also X-Wings with their wings a little bit open. It's an interesting design.
They're chasing their cell ship around. They're trying to fly this thing. They're having a hard time with it. There's like some weirdness with like them trying to go to warp, but they can't do it. Like Mayweather's flying this thing and Tucker gets the ship to cloak. Finally.
They escape.
They escape GameCube Rogue Leader. Remember Rogue? That was a good game.
I love that one.
X-Wing. That was a really good one. I really hated the Hoth mission. I had a really hard time with it.
I was good at the Hoth mission. So
You were good at the Hoth mission? I just don't like. I like shooting stuff. I want to fucking fly. I'm doing the wrapping around stuff. Anyways. meanwhile,
to the gallows.
To the gallows. Archer and Reed are like being taken to the gallows, and Archer is like, let my boy live, you don't need to kill both of us. Ghostus is like, shut the fuck up, dude, you're going to die now.
You're getting hanged because our biology works exactly the same, but that will also kill you. I don't know why, but I feel like there should have been a slightly different way they execute people. I think that'd be funny if they walked in and they're like, what the fuck is that?
They hang them by the armpits. That's where the lungs are. So they get noosed up, and they hear a ship. T'Pol and Tucker hop out, and they stun everybody like they should have done at the beginning of this episode, and they untie Archer and Reed. And Archer's like, shit,
they did the fun, like very simple matting special effect where this ship is invisible, obviously, but like just a door opens floating in space.
Always cool to see.
Yeah.
I love watching something become invisible or uninvisible. I'm always clapping like a fucking seal.
And it's like, this has been around since like the 1920s, this kind of special effect, and it still rocks.
It's good. Most of the best effects we have are early in camera effects Anyways, Archer is like, oh shit, my junk. We need to get our junk and then get out of here. And they get out of there so easily. Like
he runs in there because luckily they haven't split the atom. They also haven't invented safes yet, apparently. It's like, this is the most incredible technology we've ever found. Let's just leave it on a table with one dude in the room.
Make sure you put them all next to each other on one tray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just on the tray. Yeah. On the table. And the table should be in the middle of the room. Just the one room in the base.
The room they've seen them in. Don't move them to another room.
Do not move them into another room. Whatever you do. Anyways, they go back to the Enterprise. The only Ghosts is left unstunned. And he's looking at it like, yo, what?
Twilight Zone.
he's severely Twilight Zone. We're back on the Enterprise. Archer and T'Pol are like, yeah, we fucked up, huh? We fucked up big time. But we didn't really fuck up that bad. They just think that the Alliance is more advanced than them, which might be good because they seem to be the bad guys.
I'll admit, this is the kind of thing where I have some fun thinking about it. And I wish, of all the planets we'd get a follow-up on, I do wish we got a follow-up on this one. And I doubt we did because they didn't even name the planet or the species or whatever. But like, you could see it two ways where they get so scared of the Alliance, they maybe try to like create a peace deal because they're like, they're so technologically far ahead of us. Or they're like, we have to attack now before they, more of these prototypes get manufactured. So you could see either way them stopping a war or starting a war. And that's, you know, part of the lesson here of you don't know which direction cultural contamination is going to go.
Yeah. So who knows? Anyways, and then, our, you know, DePaul is like,
oh, we do get a stinger, though, because Trip is checking on his hand.
Yes, that's right. I was trying to remember exactly what the line was. If you remember it, I would love
it. I don't remember the line. I just remember him saying, like, how long is this going to take? And he's like, it should be wrapped up pretty soon here. It looks like most of your hand is fine. And I feel like we don't see what he's talking about. And then when Trip goes over to the door to, like, close it or open it to the med bay, you see that he just has, like, a bullet hole, like, straight through his hand.
Yeah, that's right.
Still invisible.
Incredible.
Which is fun because that's probably just green paint they put on
it. It's probably just green paint. Also, right before that, DePaul is like, you didn't have to kill yourself. It would have been fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess
she's like, I didn't think you were going to. Don't worry about it next time.
Yeah.
And that's the episode.
That's
the episode of the show.
Slightly above average in my
book. Above average. I think, this is just in that category of episode for the show where they're just like, there really should be something called the Prime something. The something directive. What if we did that next time? What if we remembered next time? Anyways.
The thing that's like, I know, having already watched this, is they never do something neat with that idea of like, pick a civilization from a future Star Trek, and then what if we met them, influenced them? Like, you don't even have Because I just know they were against this whole idea of like, we don't want a prequel too much. We don't want to be like, this is how we met, yada, yada, yada. But that's what we should be doing in the prequel.
Probably.
And instead we get these vague, you know, never meet the species ever again kind of situations, which we'll get a little bit of interesting dialogue, a little bit of thoughtful, like, why do we need this prime directive? But no permanence to like this universe or no continuity.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Nah.
Unnamed species we never see again.
Never once again.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's the episode. And that's our episode.
Clayton. That's our episode.
What if I were now, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to go listen to more episodes of this show, perhaps, that were behind a paywall, that maybe were only $1 a month, and we like watched like fun movies from the same time as this show, where would you go?
I know this one. I know this.
Okay. What's the
Patreon.
Answer?
Patreon. It's Patreon.
Patreon. What's the, how do you get there though? I have no idea.
Patreon.com/temporalculturewar.
You go to temporalculturewar.com is what I would do.
Fuck!
Because there's a beautiful...
it'll take you to
I paid Patreon. For a redirect, baby. I got those.
I almost got
Come
it.
On! Damn it. You're fired.
Just go to temporalculturewar.com, please. My job depends on it.
Wow. I really set you up there.
Because it's cool that there are episodes there, like you said, of movies and fun things, and... You can watch the whole back catalog and look forward to us doing another one, which we keep saying is femme fatale, and the more we say it, the more it'll happen. I don't want to do another shitty movie.
We'll do it soon. Yeah, we'll do. We need to watch something good, or I'll kill myself. I almost got through a whole episode of the show without threatening to kill myself, and I think that's pretty good.
It's progress.
I made it to minute 55 before threatening suicide.
Well, as always,
as always.
This is
who this goes is, first. You do it. You do it.
Do we? Maybe we should decide like the captain or science officer. Goes
I think
first.
You took us in. I'll take us in.
Thank you.
As always, I have been Maddie Lipchinsky,
and I have been Clayton Ashley.
And as always, as we always say, and they always say on every episode of Enterprise, Captain Archer's famous catchphrase that he says in the first episode, and then we're finding out as we go on this show, never again. Let's go.
He should have said it when he got in the pod. Let's go.
Let's go.